42, using the structure of lament. I may have shared that last week. Mark, in his book, quoted the structure from Stacy Gleddy Smith. She's a Regent College professor. Stacy Gleddy Smith wrote an article called "My God, My God, Why?" And here's the structure. It's fourfold. Here's the structure of a psalm of lament. In fact, Martin Luther had the very same structure, very similar structure, going back to the times of the Reformation. And even before that, they were talking in more about psalms of lament and that structure. Here's the structure. Turning to God, number one, turning to God. Number two, bringing complaint. Number two, bringing complaint. Number three, asking boldly. Asking boldly. And then number four, choosing to trust. Choosing to trust. These movements don't deny the pain or the sorrow or the trouble or the storm that you may be going through or will or have. They bring it into the presence of God. We all experience pain and sorrow at some and various levels. Here's what I want you to hear this morning. God knows all about it. And He sees you in it. And He cares about it. Mark, in his book, says this. He writes, "Lament is the honest cry of a hurting heart wrestling with the paradox of pain and the promise of God's goodness." So Psalm 42 is that kind of honest cry. So let's take a look. Number one, turning to God. "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you. My God, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God?" The psalmist is going to God. He's turning to God. That's the first structure of a psalm of lament. He's turning to God. He knows where to take his cries, his pain and his sorrow, his questions, and he goes right to God. He turns to God. He doesn't turn away from God in the dryness, but he turns toward Him. His soul thirsts for God, not for answers, not even for relief first, but for God Himself. This is the first step of lament, turning to God even when it feels like He's far away. Even when He feels like He's far away. Faith doesn't mean that you never question or cry. It means you know where to bring those questions and fears. You know where to go. The danger for us sometimes is to be silent. It hurts so much, I don't know what to say, I don't know what to pray, and so I'm silent. There's a danger there. Don't be silent. Share it. In seasons of grief or discouragement, don't run from God, run to Him, even if all you can say is God. I need you. God, I need you. And maybe your cry is just this. It's Jesus. Coming out of COVID, many of us experienced something, a feeling, a weirdness, a sense of now what or what's going on. Adam Grant defined it this way. He called it languishing. Bless you. Here's how he defined languishing. A sense of stagnation, emptiness, muddling through your days, looking at your life through a foggy windshield. Anybody experience that? Maybe some of us are still in it, that foggy windshield. It's the perpetual battle to find any semblance of hope. Psalm 42 addresses spiritual languishing. It's a lament that wrestles with despair and discouragement, and the psalmist is telling us to go to God with that, cry out to Him. He's the one you can take it to. So there is a turning to God. Number two, bringing complaint. Now, this is not complaining, but bringing complaint. There's a difference. My tears have been my food day and night, the psalmist says, while people say to me all day long, where is your God? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me and saying to me all day long, where is your God? The psalmist doesn't sugarcoat his pain. That's what bringing complaint to God is all about. God, I don't understand what's going on. I don't see this matching up with your goodness and promises. Help me to understand. Help me. He names it through his tears and through his loneliness, through his taunts, and through the inner anguish. His complaint is both internal. My soul is downcast, and external, mocking the enemies. Here's where lament is different from denial. He doesn't pretend everything's okay. He doesn't minimize his sorrow. He brings the complaint into God's presence. God, I don't understand. This is hard. But I bring it to you. Many of us were taught maybe we're not to complain to God. Just to be strong. Be strong. Bootstraps. But the Psalms show us that it's not only permissible, it's faithful to bring our pain honestly before the Lord. Dale Carnegie wrote a book called How to Win Friends and Influence People. I bet John has read it a number of times. Haven't? Well, you gotta read How to Win Friends and Influence People, Dale Carnegie. And I'll always remember this. We used it in seminary, actually, this book. I always remember the three C's. One of his principles when you're talking with people, interacting with people, whether it be business or just everyday life, church life, friends, neighborhoods, whatever, do not ever use the three C's, he said. Don't do the three C's. Do not criticize. Do not condemn. Do not complain. Three C's. Do not criticize, do not condemn, do not complain. A person of faith in Jesus Christ is invited to honestly complain. The disciples were grumbling about Jesus' teaching. It was a hard teaching for some. He talked about the bread of life, my body and my blood, the bread of life Jesus shared with them. A number of disciples left. A number were grumbling. And Jesus asked them, he says, are you going to leave me too? Peter spoke up. Well, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. We turn to God. We lay out our honest complaints. And then number three, ask boldly. These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go into the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. By day the Lord directs His love, at night His song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. Notice the boldness here that He comes with. It's honest. It's bold, it's real, it's raw. The psalmist doesn't just pour out complaint, he pleads for God's presence and directs his soul to hope again. Almost like he's talking to himself. Or reminding himself of once again knowing where to take it. Lament is directional. Lament travels, we could say. Mark in his book talks about it as when we pour out our sorrows and our complaints to God and we're asking boldly, it's not a cul-de-sac of sorrows, right? Where they just remain. Lament travels. There's a destination for the psalm of lament. It's directional. It's traveling. It travels to a place, to a person. He asks God to intervene, the psalmist. God, would you intervene on my behalf? Would you show your steadfast love? Would you bring healing? Would you bring restoration? God, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go except for you, to you. This is the heart of lament. Not only what is wrong, but also what we long for God to do. Remember, lament is God's language of pain leading. It travels to trust. In your prayers, don't be afraid to ask big things of God. Ask Him to heal, to restore, to comfort, to break through the darkness with light. Bold asking is an act of faith. And then four, choosing to trust the direction. Choosing to trust. Three times in Psalm 42 and 43, at one time it was one psalm, but now it's divided into two. The refrain, "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God." The psalm doesn't end with all the problems solved, but it ends with a decision. I will hope in God. I will yet praise Him. Mark again says this. He says, don't make the mistake of thinking that the goal is the ending of all pain, the removal of every struggle, and a spiritual commitment that never wavers. Sometimes that might be true, but it's not usually the case. More often, faithfulness looks like a determined choice to keep praying while wrestling with the nagging question, is God listening? The normal Christian life, Mark says, is a fight to believe while doubts remain. It's a fight to believe while doubts remain. Faith in suffering often looks like this, not a neat resolution, but a stubborn trust in God's character. Even when circumstances have not yet changed. And he puts it this way, to cry is human. To cry is human. But to lament is Christian. To cry is human, to lament is Christian. Lament takes us beyond the tears, it leads us to trust. Some of you may not feel like praising today, but you can choose to trust. You can preach to your soul, hope in God. hope in God. I will yet praise Him. I will yet praise Him. Psalm 42 shows us to hope, how to hope in the midst of tears. The path is not denial, but lament. Turning to God, bringing complaint, asking boldly, and choosing to trust. In Jesus Christ, we know the fullness of this hope. He Himself cried out in lament on the cross, Psalm 22. My God, why have You forsaken Me? He knows sorrow. He rose again so that our tears will not have the final word. One day, God will make all things new. He will wipe every tear from our eyes. Until then, like the psalmist, we keep turning. We keep complaining. We lay out our complaints. We keep asking boldly, and we keep trusting. Because our hope is in the living God through the Lord Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. So, Bethel family, this morning, when your tears flow, let them lead you to hope. Say with the psalmist, put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. Let's pray. Lord God, You have given us a gift, the gift of Your Word, to recite, to pray, and that leads us to that point, to that place of hope in You, because You are a God of grace, mercy, and kindness of love. Thank You for Your presence with us in the good times, in the bad times, in the easy, in the hard. Continue to do that as You promised, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a song.